Hello everyone, we're back and we're now on Chapter 7, Build a Top-Notch Team. Life is far too short to settle for less than you truly want in your business or your life. So move people to action and make an impact on every life you touch. Wendy Lipton Dibner, author of the book Shatter Your Speed Limit and Get What You Truly Want in Business and Life. I just love that quote. Tip 50. Optimize the structure of your company without names of people in mind. When optimizing the structure of your company, it is important to consider what roles the company really needs and what 5 to 7 functions each role entails. Do not think of specific people who are already on your team. This is really critical because otherwise you're liable to design the roles and functions around the strengths and weaknesses of the people you have right now. Instead, define the optimum structure and only then map your team into the roles. At that point, evaluate whether a specific person really fits into a given role and is able to fulfill all the functions that role entails. You might find the company has outgrown someone's skill set. Maybe training can rectify the situation. Perhaps another person on the team is better suited, or you might decide to hire someone new for a role. This process is one of the fastest accelerators to success. I recommend you get a capable CEO coach to facilitate the process. Outside facilitation makes the process go much smoother, making it easier for your team to buy into the process and move through possible changes. Here's a quote. There is at least one point in the history of any company when you have to change dramatically to rise to the next level of performance. Miss that moment and you start to decline. Andy Grove, Hungarian-born American businessman, engineer, and science pioneer in the semiconductor industry. This process is so, so important. So I just want to put this close to your heart. Tip 51. Understand owner mindset versus traditional employee thinking. Traditional employee thinking is that the employee does the work that is expected of him or her in exchange for a paycheck or compensation package, including benefits, vacation, bonuses, and other incentives. There may or may not be an incentive program such as stock options or bonuses. Many companies have some form of regular performance evaluation. You probably are familiar with that. Employees typically expect to get paid no matter what the bottom line looks like. Often even salary increases and or bonuses are expected regardless of whether or not the company earned profits. Part of this problem is rooted in the fact that employees are often unaware of the company's financials, such as revenues and especially profits. The owner's mindset, on the other hand, is very different. Owners carry a lot of responsibility. The well-being of their employees, the satisfaction of their customers, and financial and legal considerations. Owners know the financials. Or at least they should. They are often willing to sacrifice getting paid or getting paid adequately in order to do the best they can for the employees. The owner does this with the expectation that he or she is growing an asset for the future. Here's the quote. It might be said that it is the ideal of the employer to have production without employees, and the ideal of the employee is to have income without work. This was said by E.F. Schumacher, or Schumacher, should be Schumacher since he's German-born British economist, founder of the Intermediate Technology Development Group. Tip 52, help your employees to think like an owner and leader. So that's the tip that overcomes the issue with the previous tip. You and the owner and or CEO can work with your employees to understand and adopt more of an owner mindset. The process usually requires some training and ongoing mentoring, typically 6 months. In our experience, ongoing mentoring is what really turns around the culture and profitability of a company. Amazing results are possible when employees feel a greater sense of responsibility and initiative. So the 6 months measure is my experience when you really are working on it. If you're not working on it, it can take years and you still don't get there. Management is doing things right. Leadership is doing the right things. Peter Drucker, Austrian-born American management consultant. So tip 53, teach your employees how they can impact the bottom line. In tip 52, we talked about teaching employees to think more like an owner, take on more initiative, be self-motivated, and feel a greater level of responsibility for the company's performance. For that to work, employees need to understand how they personally impact the company's bottom line. What are the actions or behaviors that help or hurt the company? Some of these actions might be quite clear, others less obvious. For example, it is clear that salespeople help the company's success through selling more, provided it is at a price that has an acceptable margin. It may be less obvious that when a salesperson promises an unrealistic deadline for a project, the operations department may have more trouble running smoothly and profitably. Here's the quote. An inventor is simply a person who doesn't take his education too seriously. You see, from the time a person is 6 years old until he graduates from college, he has to take 3 or 4 examinations a year. If he flunks once, he's out. But an inventor is almost always failing. He tries and fails maybe 1,000 times. If he succeeds once, then he's in. These two things are diametrically opposite. We often say that the biggest job we have is to teach a newly hired employee how to fail intelligently. We have to train him to experiment over and over and to keep on trying and failing until he learns what will work. Charles F. Kettering, 1876 to 1958, American engineer, inventor of the electric starter. Tip 54, seek input and truly listen. Seek input from your partners and employees. Practicing the art of truly listening is very powerful. They will feel heard, understood, and valued. People who feel valued typically step up more and require less supervision. Whatever your idea of success, throughout the process of reaching your goal, conduct regular sanity checks. This could be done with another CEO or with a CEO coach, someone you trust in any case and who is successful. As you move through different milestones, ask the coach or mentor to provide honest feedback. Bounce concerns or ideas off your coach or mentor to keep you on the right track. Be open to hearing that a particular idea may not be the best one. Good listening takes time to learn, but in the end, it will be your greatest tool. So this is where it's very important not to immediately reject the input, but to let it sink in, listen, think on it, and then decide what you will do with it. Here's the quote. We have 2 ears and 1 mouth so that we can listen twice as much as we speak. Oh boy, I don't know how to say this name. Epictetus. Anyways, he's a Greek sage and Stoic philosopher. Epictetus. Anyway, let's go on to tip 55. Guard your emotions. Study after study has shown that people with pleasant, calm personalities have an easier time reaching success. This is important for you as top-notch CEO. Do your best to be level-headed, especially in difficult situations. Be polite, show true interest, and have a sense of humor. Your staff will remain calmer and more eager and willing to contribute to overcoming the challenge. Keeping emotions in check is not always an easy task. We all know that. You will have times of disappointment that will require you to react with integrity. You may feel as though utter disaster has just occurred. Keep telling yourself it will not be so bad, and you will just have to make some adjustments in your plan. Never allow anger to be the response. You never know the trickle-down effect of that anger, how it could permanently damage your reputation and your relationship with your staff and or clients. Here's the quote. Avoid having your ego so close to your position that when your position falls, your ego goes with it. Colin Powell, United States Secretary of State, 2001 through 2005, National Security Advisor from 1987 to 1989. Tip 56. Create real team buy-in for important decisions. Have you experienced this? You come up with a brilliant solution that you are burning to implement with your team. Yet somehow, the idea seems to fizzle and not go anywhere. What's missing? More than likely, the answer is lack of buy-in. You can create buy-in by coming up with a solution together with a team that will be responsible for implementing it. You can create buy-in by coming up with a solution together with a team that will be responsible for implementing it. If the team members believe it is their solution, they will implement it much faster. You may sometimes feel it would be so much faster to just give the team the solution you see so clearly. Yet under that circumstance, the buy-in might be low. Furthermore, you might be missing out on good or even better ideas your team might have. Synergize and brainstorm with your team often, especially in critical matters. You will get more buy-in and likely better solutions as well. Very, very important. Here's the quote. Remember, teamwork begins by building trust, and the only way to do that is to overcome our need for invulnerability. Wow. That was said by Patrick Lencioni, author of 5 Dysfunctions of a Team, a Leadership Fable. Okay, on to tip 57. Learn to hold top-notch meetings that have real results. Most of us in business hold meetings, lots of them. Meetings can be very important to coordinating your team, planning projects, keeping them on track, getting input, and solving problems. What is amazing is that many of us have never learned how to properly conduct a meeting. Wow! The cost of holding inefficient meetings is staggering. Think about it. For example, a 1-hour meeting with 10 professionals earning $50 per hour plus benefits costs you more than $500. What is your return on this investment? Do all 10 really need to be there in the first place? Learn how to hold meetings the top-notch effective way. I recommend you have a written agenda. Adhere to the time frame you set. Have one person be the facilitator, another be the timekeeper, and a third person be the note taker. The most important topics are discussed first. A decision is made and/or an action item is established and documented. Documenting, by the way, really important. Then the next item of priority is discussed. Learn and practice a proven meeting format. We actually offer a workshop on productive meetings. As a result, the time when your staff is saying, when we meet, we talk a lot, but nothing ever comes from it, will be over for good. Take time to deliberate. But when the time for action has arrived, stop thinking and go in. Napoleon Bonaparte, French military and political leader during the French Revolution. Tip 58. Coach your team to monitor a few key performance indicators. Establish a few key performance indicators and teach your staff what they mean. The most meaningful indicators are the ones the staff actually has influence on. Revenue sold, revenues invoiced, the average number of accounts receivable days. So, in other words, how long does it take you to get your accounts receivable actually paid, and so on. Think about which indicators are most meaningful for your organization. Put them on a scoreboard and meet with your team every 2 weeks to look at them. Think about which indicators are most meaningful for your organization. Put them on a scoreboard and meet with your team every 2 weeks to look at them. You can make a game out of it and ask them to predict what the next set of numbers will be. The next time you can see what they were and compare, plus put in estimates for the following period. Scorecards foretell your financial future. This is by Gina Wickman. By the way, this tip is used by quite a lot of employee-owned companies, because in employee-owned companies, in the well-run ones, that is, there's really a big push for the employees to not only be an owner on paper, but to take more and more ownership responsibilities, and this is a key thing for that. Now, even if you're not an employee-owned company, you can really take this to heart, and you can increase your profit margins with this, because your employees are going to start to really pull for better results because they understand and they have now power to actually influence it. Tip 59, offer praise. If your staff is doing an excellent or even a good job, make sure to acknowledge them. Offering praise is so easy to do and doesn't cost anything. You just need to remember to take a moment to do it, even or especially while pursuing tough milestones under time pressure. Your team is an important part of your success. In return for your providing praise and support, they will show dedication and work hard to help you reach your goal. Give praise in front of others, but provide critique to the individual in private. Very important. Praise can be reinforced with a certificate of award, which also doesn't really cost you anything or much. It has been proven that people will work harder for an award or a title than they will for an increase in pay. Quote, a praise is the most precious and result-driven commodity managers have to share. Julie Winkle Giuliani, author of Help Them Grow or Watch Them Go. Tip 60. Learn about self-funded incentive plans. Many incentive plans, such as bonuses, are not tied to specific measurable and time-bound goals. Instead, they often seem to be a reward for overall good performance without the employee being sure about what specifically he or she did to earn the incentive. Therefore, the employee likely expects another bonus the following year without knowledge of the financial performance of the company. This is entitlement mentality. Consider setting up a self-funded incentive plan, which is essentially a profit-sharing plan. Establish a minimum profit threshold required for the company to be healthy, provide investment capital, and have some cash reserves. Profits exceeding that threshold may be shared with the staff. There are different methods for achieving this. For example, each person could get an equal share or share that's scaled by their respective salaries. Make sure your employees know exactly what they did to deserve an incentive, meaning how they enhanced the company's success and profits. Only then it works as an actual incentive. Otherwise, it will soon be merely an expected entitlement. Quote, in any moment of decision, the best thing you can do is the right thing. The next best thing is the wrong thing. And the worst thing you can do is nothing. Theodore Roosevelt, 26th U.S. President. Tip 61. Learn about the benefits of employee ownership. The benefits of employee ownership, if done right, are clear. Employees are more motivated and show more self-initiative if they own a piece of the company. They can benefit beyond a fixed salary from the success they help create. You provide your employees with greater motivation to think like an owner, because they are a part owner. So you need to spend the effort to provide them with the appropriate training and mentorship to gain that mindset. Employee ownership can be achieved in different ways. For example, you could allow your staff to purchase shares in your privately held company from their own money by way of bonus programs or a 401k plan. The bonus program might be from the self-funded incentive plan that we just talked about. Another form of employee ownership is to set up an employee stock ownership plan, ESOP. It is a highly tax-advantaged way to diversify your business assets, possibly even eventually sell your business. It is often a great exit strategy for an owner. If you have children and some are interested in continuing your business and some are not, an ESOP can provide some great strategies to handle that. You need to get expert advice on this from an estate planner who truly understands ESOPs. Since ESOP plans have some administrative costs, the company revenues should probably be around $3 million or more. Talk to an ESOP advisor to see if this makes sense for you. One great resource is the Beister Institute at the Rady School of Management in San Diego. Quote, the democratic principle upon which this nation was founded should not be restricted to the political processes, but should be applied to the industrial operation. This was said by Albert Gallatin, 1795. He was the longest-serving U.S. Treasury Secretary in history. Tip 62. attract the right employees to you. First, hire for cultural fit, then look for the right skills. This is truly great advice because a skilled person who despises your company's culture does not work out well. On the other hand, if you hire a person who fits your culture and who has the right attitude and aptitude, you can train that person in the skills he or she needs. Your mission and vision statements, as well as your core values, can be an attracting factor for the right employees. Express your purpose for what you are doing and what you value. Many people like to be part of something meaningful. They get more engaged, care more, and are likely to take more initiative when their core values align with their own. Quote, somebody once said that in looking for people to hire, you look for three qualities, integrity, intelligence, and energy. And if you don't have the first, the other two will kill you. You think about it, it's true. If you hire somebody without integrity, you really want them to be dumb and lazy. Very true. Warren Buffett, CEO of Warren Buffett Enterprises. Tip 63, hold workshops or lunch and learns to foster your employees' growth. It is well known that people do not stay with or leave companies primarily because of satisfaction or dissatisfaction with their compensation. Compensation is important, of course, but the opportunity to grow, to have input, and to be valued is often more important. One inexpensive way to foster growth of your employees is to host regular workshops or lunch and learns. You can invite or hire outside speakers and or rotate the role of speaker among your employees. Help them grow or watch them go. Beverly Kay and Julie Winkle Giuliani, authors of the book of the same title. Alright, this gets us to tip 64. The mind takes clues from the work environment. Having an inspiring, or at least not an uninspiring work environment is important. Sometimes this point is overlooked. Are you working surrounded by clutter, sitting in an office with unpainted drywall or boring white walls without a single picture on it? I've seen that a lot, actually. You may think this does not matter, but statistics and experience show otherwise. Often, the turnaround of a company can be accelerated by simply painting the walls of the offices or the company kitchen with a vibrant color. Maybe there's a spare room that can be made into a team room with little or no money. For example, in one very cash-strapped company, we bought a couple of gallons of paint, got a free couch via freecycle.com, and bought a second one for $50 via craigslist.com. I picked up the thing myself, actually. Voila! We created a team room and a much more appealing-looking company kitchen. The company in hope for better times among the employees improved immediately. The following year, revenues rose by 41%. This improvement was not only due to these steps, of course, but the work environment helped to make it happen. Quote, when we clear the physical clutter from our lives, we literally make room for inspiration and good orderly direction to enter. Julia Cameron, author of Artist's Way. Tip 65. Make sure you have the right support team. You must have a good banker, CPA, tax person, and attorney. You cannot do business without them. To get financing, you generally need 2 years of good financial statements and a compelling business plan. Many businesses can also get a receivables-based credit line. Building a relationship with a good banker in good times makes harder times easier to cope with. A good banker is a person who holds the umbrella over your head when it rains. Diane Anderson, CEO of American Seminar Leaders Association and coaching firm International. Diane is an awesome trainer and a really awesome person. Tip 66. In a family business, the family bond can work for or against you. Between 80% and 90% of American businesses are currently owned and operated by families. Working with family members in your business can be very rewarding. It can also be extremely challenging. There are three roles that need to be balanced: family, ownership, and management. It can be difficult to be objective with family members because you have known each other for so long. You are aware of each other's strengths and weaknesses on a much more intimate level than with practically any other person. You know each other's buttons, which in some cases can be pushed quickly. It's important to regularly get objective yet compassionate assistance from a source outside the family business. A CEO coach is often helpful when working on new strategic directions, profit enhancement, team issues, or succession planning. Here's the quote for this one. You have to respect your parents. They are giving you an at-bat. If you're an entrepreneur and go into the family business, you want to grow fast. Patience is important. But respect the other party. My dad and I pulled it off because we really respect each other. Gary Vaynerchuk, CEO of VaynerMedia, Director of Operations of a wine retail store and author. Well, that's it for this chapter. Please make sure to write your ideas into the worksheet. Then we'll talk during the next session. Until then, I say ciao.